Today's daf is Erev and Daf Ayin Vav, and we are at the two dots, 20 lines from the bottom of Daf Ayin Hey Amid Beis Vim Hoyu Shal Yechidim V'chulu. Today's daf is being learned as a Schos Refuah Shalema. The Shlomo Ben Sara Aliza, Avadia Ben Miriam Leah, Chaim Naftali Menachem Ben Yendela, and Rafal Mordechai Ben Gittel. Today's daf is also being learned to Ilui Nishmas Avram Ben Yibadol Chaim Toivim, Rav Moshe Chaim. So the Mishnah and Daf Ayin Hey Amid Aleph mentioned the halacha of Shtei Chatzeros, Zu Lifnim Mizu. What's unique about that case? The people that live in the inner chatzer have schus drisa saregel. They have an easement. They're allowed to walk through the chatzer hachitzoyna. And as a result, on some level, Chazal viewed them as being active members of the chatzer hachitzoyna, which would then impact the ability of the people in the chatzer hachitzoyna to make an eruv chatzeros without taking into account the people that live in the Chatzar HaPnimis. What's the halacha? A machloikis, Rabbi Akiva, and the Chachamim, and as we saw in the Gemara, a third shita, the Rabbanim Basroi, the Chachamim and the Mishnah hold, that in the event that the people that live in the Chatzar HaPnimis did not make an Erev, the halacha is the people in the Chatzar HaChitzoyna, although they did make an Erev, would not be able to carry in their Chatzar. The Chachamim are of the opinion that regel ha'oiseres bimkoima, Rabbi Akiva takes it a step further. Rabbi Akiva said that even if the people living in the Chatzar HaPnimis would make an Erev, and the people living in the Chatzar HaChitzoyna would make an Erev, but if they weren't Ma'ariv, the two Chatzeros together, that too would be a problem. Rabbi Akiva viewed the people living in the Chatzar HaPnimis as literally being members of the Chatzar HaChitzoyna. So the Chatzar HaChitzoyna, just like they can't make an Erev if they miss out some of the people living in their chatzar, they can't make an Erev if they don't include the people living in the Chatzar HaPnimis. Rabbi Akiva holds, afilu regel hamuteres bimkoimo, oiseres shalei bimkoimo. The third shita was the shita of the Rabbanim Basroi. The Rabbanim Basroi disagree with this whole halacha. They hold, kishem sheregel hamuteres eino oiseres, kach regel asura eino oiseres. It's true that people living in the Chatzar HaPnimis have some rights to go through the Chatzar HaChitzoyna, but it has no impact on the laws of Eruv Chatzeres. At the end of the day, they're two independent Chatzeres, and if the people that are living in the Chatzar HaChitzoyna want to make their own Eruv, it doesn't matter what's going on in the Chatzar HaPnimis. It's no different than two ordinary Chatzeres that are side by side, where if they want to be Ma'arav together, they can. But if they don't want to be Ma'arav together, they don't have to, and each Chatzar is allowed to do its own thing. Now, the Mishnah mentioned seven cases, some of which the Chachamim argued with Rabbi Akiva, some of which they didn't argue with Rabbi Akiva. The very last halacha of the Mishnah was, Vim hoyu shel yechidin, einon tzrichen la'arif. Pashtus, this line, is going according to the Chachamim, who hold that a regel ha'oiseres bimkoima is oiseres shalei bimkoima, but a regel ha'muteres bimkoima, eino oiseres shalei bimkoima. If that's the case, if there was only one person that was living in the Chatzar HaPnimi, there's no reason there should be any problem for the Chatzar HaChitzoyna. Meaning, we shouldn't even be having this conversation. This halacha should be so obvious, you almost have to ask why it's even in the Mishnah. Because the whole concept of the people living in the Chatzar HaPnimi is having an ability to ask the people living in the Chatzar HaChitzoyna is to the extent that they have some sort of issue. If it's a regular Asura Bim Kaima, so then it's Oiseres Shalei Bim Kaima. But if it's only one person, how could it be a regular Asura? One person can do whatever he wants. If you have two Yidden that live together in a Chatzar, so that's when you start discussing Shailas. But to the extent that there's only one Yid, obviously it's not going to be an issue. According to Rabbi Akiva, that even a regular HaMuteres Bimkoima is Oiseres Shalei Bimkoima, this halacha wouldn't be true. Who cares? There's only one person living there. At the end of the day, that one person, although he lives in the Chatzar HaPnimi, but on some level he also lives in the Chatzar HaChitzoyna because of this Chos Drisa Saregel that he has. So from that standpoint, Avada, he would have to be taken into consideration. So it's Pashit that this last line, Vim Hoyu Shal Yechidim Einan Tzrichen La'arif, is going according to the Chachamim. The reason if a Yachid lives in the Chatzar HaPnimi, it's not a problem, is because it's a Regel HaMuteres. Why is it a Regel HaMuteres? Because only one person. Madach, if there's two people and they make an Erev, it's a Regel HaMuteres. Kal v'chaymer, if there's only one person living there, we don't even have to make an Erev, it's going to be a Regel HaMuteres. And that's why the Halacha is, one person living in the Chatzar HaPnimi, it's not going to be an issue for anyone living in the Chatzar HaChitzoyna. What would be if you had two people living in the Chatzar HaPnimi? But zok the Gemara. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, "Tani Rebbe, I heard a brisa in the name of Rebbe who said, Hayu gibel asur. If there were three people living in these two chatzeros, there was a chatzra apnim and there was a chatzra achitzayna, and there were three people living there, the halacha is it's going to be a problem. Meaning, if there was one person that was living in the chatzra apnim, but there were two people living in the chatzra achitzayna, the halacha of the Mishnah wouldn't be true. Very big kiddush." Again, one person living in the Chatzar Apanimi, two people living in the Chatzar Achitzayna, it wouldn't be true. Pashtus, why not? If there's only one person living in the Chatzar Apanimi, it's a regular muteris. Assuming we're going according to the Chachamim, a regular muteris bimkoima is eno eseres shalei bimkoima. So what should be the issue? Because there's two people living in the Chatzar Achitzayna, there could be 100 people living in the Chatzar Achitzayna. The point is, the Chatzar Hachitzoyna needs to reckon with the Chatzar Apnimi to the extent that you can't carry in the Chatzar Apnimi. If there's only one person living in the Chatzar Apnimi, what in the world can possibly be the issue? So Amalu Rabibi, Sir Rabibi said, Loita Tzisule. So imagine, Rabbi Yosef's in Beis Medrash, and Rabbi Yosef says over the Salacha, he said, Tani Rebbe, Hayu Gimel Asurim. Sir Rabibi was there, and he told the Oilam, he said, don't listen to Rabbi Yosef. You know why? He's making a mistake. I know I'm Rita Nahalo. I'm the one who told this to Rabbi Yosef. He never heard it from Rabbi. And when I told it to him, I told it to him in the name of Rav Ada Bar Ahava. And I explained it. What did I tell him? That the reason it's a problem is because although it's true there's only one person in the Chatzar Apnimi, but there's a Rabbim. There's two people living in the Chatzar Achitzayna, and that in and of itself is going to be an issue. Now the Gemara doesn't really explain it, but Rashi explained it. And the reason is because if you're going to be matarit when there's two people living in the Chatzar Achitzayna, on the basis that there's only one person living on the Chatzar Apnimi, you may do it in the reverse as well. And you may be matter when there's one person living in the Chatzar Achitzayna and two people living in the Chatzar Apnimi. That already is not good. Because once there's two people living in the Chatzar Apnimi and they didn't make an Erev, then it's a regular Asura. So as a Gezera, that you shouldn't confuse the one in the inner chatzar versus the one in the outer chatzar. So the Chachamim said that the only time you can rely on this, if there's one person living in the inner chatzar, there's one person living in the outer chatzar. And Rav Bibi said that I'm the one who told this halacha to Rav Yosef. I said, Hayu gimel asurim. And the reason was, because once there's a rabbin the chitzayna, I don't want to be matter. Because if you can be matter the rabbin the chitzayna, you may be matter the rabbin in the primus as well. But either way, Rav Yosef said, Tony Rebbe? This has nothing to do with Rebbe. Meaning, I said it in the name of Rav Ada Bar Ahava. But there's a difference between saying it in the name of an Amora, Rav Ada Bar Ahava, versus saying the name of a Tana, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. So he said, Rabbi Yosef made a mistake. So the Gemara says, Amr Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef heard that he made this mistake. He said, Mori de Ravram, Rabbeinu Shalom, Rabbim Berabim Ichlafli. I must have confused the word Rabbim and the word Rebbe. Meaning, I obviously heard Rabbin, but what I thought I heard was Rebbe. Now, why would Rabbi Yosef have made this mistake? So Rashi says, because Rabbi Yosef chala, v'shachach tamuda, Rabbi Yosef was sick and he forgot his learning, and when he tried to remember his learning, sometimes he didn't remember it perfectly. So he said, obviously, I confused the word Rabbin and the word Rebbe. Either way, Zokta Gemara, this is the halacha. Whether it was Rabbi Yosef in the name of Rav Ada Bar Ahava, Rabbi Yosef in the name of Rebbe, Mori Davram, Rabbin, Berebbe, Ichlafli. I heard once from Rav Ernster, the Rav and Alexander Stiebel, my father's Rav, he said that why is it when you find a kasha sometimes in Shas, so the Gemara uses this phrase of Mori Davram, like Rabbeinu Shalaylam, it's a bumba kasha. So he said over in the name of one of the Rebbes, he said, because who was the first person to ever ask a good kasha? Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu said, is it possible to have a bira without a manik? Is it possible to have a world without a creator? The erish to get the kasha was from Avram Avinu. And that's why you find that when people had a kasha, like a tamia, Rabbeinu Shalom type of kasha, he said, Marid Avram, because Avram Avinu was the first person to ever ask a good kasha. But what's the halacha? The halacha is that when the Mishnah said that there's a yachid, it's in Tzrichon La'ariv, it means there's a yachid sign in the inner chatzah, sign in the outer chatzah. But if all you have is a yachid in the inner chatzah, but you have two people in the outer chatzah, once there's Ani koyre behem rabim bichitzoyna, we're already concerned that people are going to make a mistake, and therefore it's not going to be okay. But that's only the first sheet of Gemara. Shmuel HaMeshmul says, no, lo'olam utaroiz, ad sheyiyu shnayim bepnimis, ve'echad bichitzoyna. If you have one person in the chatzar apnimis, it's going to be okay. The only time it's an issue is if there's two people in the pnimis, there's one person in the chitzoyna. Meaning, whereas Rav Yosef, Rav Ada Bar Ahava, they were worried about people confusing one in the inner versus one in the outer, Shmuel wasn't worried about that. Rabbi Loza added, he said, V'nachri harei ukerabim. In the event that you have Yidin that live in a chatzar achitzoyna, there's a chatzar apnimis, and the chatzar apnimis, there's one person that lives there. But the one person that lives there is a nachri. He's an Eini Yehudi. The halacha is that one nachri is going to be treated like a rabbin, and unless you do a schirus, the halacha is, even according to the Chachamim, we're going to view it as a regularized Sarah. So the Gemara says, what would be the pshat in that? Maishna Yisrael Deloy Asa. What's the reason by Yisrael? It's not a problem. Because the man the other yada. Anyone that knows the halachas of how you treat Shtei Chatzeres, Ulef Nemisu, there's an afgamina between a regular Muteres versus a regular Asura, so he knows the halachas. You don't have to be worried that if I'm going to be matter, the Shtei Chatzeir Zulaf Nimizu, when there's one person living there, I may be matter when there's two. No, there's a big difference. When there's one, it's a regular muteres. When there's two, it's a regular asur. Uman de lo yada. What about someone that doesn't know the halacha? Okay, so if he doesn't know the halacha, Sabre Ruve Yiriv, there's no reason we shouldn't think that this person will at least be Dan Lekav Schus and think that, you know, maybe there was an Erev made. Mechites, he shouldn't think that. So, but it, meaning, obviously, we're not concerned. That's the point. Whatever gezeira you're worried about, we're not making. Fundamentally, we know why there's a difference between one person and two people. One's a regular muteris, one's a regular asura. Elamai, think the unthinkable. Maybe people are going to be dan lakav chayva. Okay, we're not worried about that. For what? Nachri nami, the Gemara says. So by a guy, say the same thing. I'm reading the yada, yada, the la yada, savre, guri yager. The person that doesn't know these halachas, and he thinks that you have to include the guy. Now, you can't be ma'arif with the guy. But at the same time, what you could do is you could do schiris. So why shouldn't we assume he would do the schiris? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because tam nachri, I said the oiger mifapai. If this non-Jew is going to lease out his property, he's going to talk about it. And from the fact that he didn't talk about it, there's no koil about it. So we have to assume that people are going to think for sure it didn't happen. So no one's going to think that there was a schiris batim. Narvas, what are you saying? That maybe people will feel you don't need to make a schiris batim because if there's only one nachri there, one nachri is not enough to create a situation of a regular asura. We're concerned that people may not know that. Either way, there's a little bit of an insecurity that Chazal had as it relates to just relying on this halacha where people may make a mistake. No one's going to make a mistake if there's one yid living in the chatzar apnimi, but we're afraid people may make a mistake if there's one guy living in the chatzar apnimi. Zach the Gemara. Am Rabbi Yehuda, am Mashmon. Yud batim zelif nemizeh. What would be if there was a chatzar? The chatzar had houses that opened up into it. On one side, a picture's worth 1,000 words, on one side, there were many, many houses that were adjacent to each other. And the nature of those houses were that one house opened directly into another house, directly into another house, directly into another house. There was a Pesach from one house to the other, and it lined up all the way to the back. The point is, on that one side of the chatzar, there were maybe 10 houses. But of those 10 houses, only one of them had direct access into the chatzar. The other ones, if you wanted to go to the chatzar, you'd have to walk through your neighbor's living room. That was the only way to get in. On the other side, you can get into the Rishos HaRabim. But as it relates to making direct access from that row of houses into the chatzar, only one on that row has direct access. That's the case. So Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Yud batim zelif nemizev. You have 10 houses, one is within the other. So the halacha is pnimi noisin eseruvay vidaya. Which is the pnimi? So it's a little counterintuitive. It's the one on the other side, the one that opens up not to the chatzar. The one on the complete other side, the 10th one, if you're looking at and standing inside the chatzar. That's the one that has to give its Erev. The other ones, they don't have to give an Erev. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan said, no, afilu chitzayin, even the chitzayin. So what's Pashup Shah? What would be the hasber? Why would you think that the 9 closest to the chatzar shouldn't have to be mishtatav in the Erev? It's only the 10th one that's going to be nois in Eruvit. The reason is because there's a halacha, and this is going to come up now a little bit in today's daf, of a Beis Sha'ar. We've seen the halacha of Beis Sha'ar very briefly. Really, the makar to the halacha of Beis Sha'ar is a mishnah later, and daf pei hei yom beis. A Beis Sha'ar was a little gateway at the entrance of a chatzar that people would have to walk through in order to get into the chatzar. So you're entering the chatzar, you don't just walk right into the chatzar, it's like a proizdar. So there's a little area that's covered, it's a bias that you have to walk through. The Beis Sha'ar was not considered significant enough that it needs to get involved in the Eruv HaChatzeres. So if somebody lived in the Beis Sha'ar, he didn't have to be mishtatav in the Eruv HaChatzeres. You couldn't place the Eruv in the Beis Sha'ar. The Beis Sha'ar was not considered a bias from a Hilchis Eruv in perspective. Being that all these houses are houses that people live in, but they're also a proizdar to get into the house on the other side of it. So we look at these houses as a Beis Shaar. So meaning that we look at them as a Beis Shaar, therefore they don't have to be included in the Erev. So the Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that if you have 10 houses, Elef Nimnizeh, the one all the way in the end has to give an Erev. Why it's not a Beis Shaar? Because that is a regular house that nobody's ever going to walk through. The other nine, we look at them as if they are batei shaar. And if we look at them as beishars, so the halach is, they don't have to make it. Rabbi Yochanan said, no, even the chitzen. So the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold it as far, chitzen beishar who? Why is Rabbi Yochanan hold that the chitzen is a beishar? So the Gemara says, you're right, chitzen shopnimi. He didn't mean all 10, he meant even the ninth. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel said that it's only the 10th. Rabbi Yochanan held even the ninth, meaning he agrees the first 8 not. Why? Because they all have a din of a Beis Shaar. It's the ninth one, that's where it's going to be negated, this halacha. That one doesn't have a din of a Beis Shaar. The Gemara said, but my kumiflikis, what's this machloikis? And now it's like really an interesting machloikis. The ninth one, does it the Shaila? The Gemara says, yeah, ma'asov Beis Shaar, the yochich may Beis Shaar, u ma'asov loish may Beis Shaar. Machloikis is whether something can be considered a Beis Shaar if only a yochid uses it. Your classic Beis Shaar is the Beis Shaar in the Chatzar, where all the Bnei HaChatzar, the Anshei HaChatzar will use it. It's a Beis Shaar, the Rabbin. That's considered a Beis Shaar. A Beis Shaar that only the people of this one house use, right? The other 8 houses aren't using the 9th house, just like the 9 houses aren't using the 10th house. So being that it's a Beis Shaar only for a Yochid, therefore there was a little bit of ambiguity. Do you look at it a Beis Shaar? Do you not look at it a Beis Shaar? And that's the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel said it is a Beis Shaar. That's why only the 10th house, the one that's called the Pnimi, that's the one has to give the Eir. Rabbi Yochanan held that it's not called a Beis Shaar, and therefore not only the 10th, but even the 9th. What Rabbi Yochanan referred to as the Chitzoin, my Chitzoin, Chitzoin, Shel Pnimi. Another halacha. Me inyan le inyan, ba oisoy inyan. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua, Amar Rav. Beis Chatzeros, there were 2 Chatzeros, Vigim Obat Benem, and between these 2 Chatzeros, there were 3 houses. So you have 2 Chatzeros that are side by side, and between the 2 Chatzeros, there were 3 houses. And the nature of these 3 houses are, they're all side by side. Like in the 10 houses, here you have 3 houses. So, one house opens up into one chatzer, the house on the other side opens up into the other chatzer, and then the person that's in between, that's attached on both sides, he doesn't open up into any of the chatzeres. So you have chatzer A and chatzer B, and then you have house A, house B, and house C. Chatzer A opens up to house A, chatzer B opens up to house C, and then house B is sandwiched in between house A and house C, and Chatzer A and Chatzer B, if that makes any sense. But regardless, probably just simpler to just read the Gemara. Beis Chatzeros, V'gimel Batim, Beineim. There were 2 Chatzeros and there were 3 houses in between them. Zebo, Derech Zeb, V'noisen Eruvi B'zeb, Zebo, Derech Zeb, V'noisen Eruvi B'zeb. So if they want, these 2 Chatzeros could be Ma'arif together. You're allowed to do that, as long as you can get from one house to the other to the other. So there's a Pesach to get from one Chatzer to the other Chatzer. So if they want to make one big happy Erev, that's something they're allowed to do. Not just that, in the event that they choose to make an Erev together, they would place the Erev in the middle house. Zen nasa beis shaar lazeh, v'zen nasa beis shaar lazeh. Meaning, they would not be able to place the Erev in the house that's closest to them. In fact, the house that's closest to them wouldn't even have to be mishtatev in the Erev, because we look at those houses as a beis shaar to the house in the middle. And so, what about the middle house? Assuming that's where they put the Erev, it's going to have a din of a bayish menichim by Erev. And you wouldn't have to put bread there either. Now, what the Gemara is saying is that what comes out is that in the event you want to make an Eruv Chatzeres and you want to put the Erev in that middle house, you can. And it's going to come out that all 3 houses, there's other houses, these are 2 Chatzeres. This is just on one side of the Chatzeres, this is the Mechitza. But those 3 houses will not need to be mishtatev in the Erev. Why? The 2 that open up into the 2 respective chatzeros are Beis Shaars, and the one that's in the middle, assuming that's where you put the Erev, so it's the Bayesh Menichem by Erev. It's the house that you put the Erev in. The Bayesh Menichem by Erev never has to be mishtatev in the Erev. Again, may inyan le inyan ba'oise inyan. Badik lu Rechava the Rabbanon. So Rechava wanted to test the Rabbanon in Hilchis Erevin. So he threw at them the following question. Beis Chatzeros, what would be if you have 2 Chatzeros? Who beis bat the name? And between these 2 Chatzeros, there were 2 houses, and the 2 houses were literally side by side. So you have 2 Chatzeros that are side by side, and they're separated by 2 houses. So one house opens up to one Chatzer, the other house opens up into the other Chatzer, and the 2 houses open up into each other. So the question that Rechab asked Rabbanon, and this is a little different than the previous case, what would be if they each want to make their own Erev? So each Chatzir is going to make an individual Erev. They're not going to be Ma'ariv, the two houses together, but rather, or the two Chatzeres together, rather each one is going to do its own thing. So this is what he wanted to know. Zeh ba derech zeh, v'nosan eruvei b'zeh, v'zeh ba derech zeh, v'nosan eruvei b'zeh. What would be if the people that were living in Chatzir A put their Erev in the house that was open up to Chatzir B? So again, let's label these Chatzeres and houses. Chatzir A, Chatzir B, house A, house B. Pretty straightforward. Chatzir A opens up into house A, or house A opens up into Chatzir A, and house B opens up into the Chatzir B. House A and B open up into each other, which is critical, because if not, then we can't even be having the Shiloh, obviously. If my Chatzir wants to make an Erev, I can't put my Erev in the house in somebody else's Chatzir. But being that the two houses opened up into each other, so we're Mishpacha. So therefore, there's a possibility to make this work. So, this is not a real story, but this was the riddle that Rechava posed to the Rabbanan. He said, what would be if the people in Chatzir A went and they put their Erev into the house B, and then the people that were living in Chatzir B went, they took the Erev and they put it into the house A. Kanu Erev, what's the shaila? What would be the tzad that you should be able to do it? So mi mashvi lohu legabi dahai bayis ulegabi dahai beishar ulegabi dahai beishar ulegabi dahai bayis or not? Amrule, they told him shneim like kanu erev. It's not going to work outside. What would be the tzad that you should be able to make this work? The tzad you should be able to make this work is that maybe house B can be viewed as being a house inside Chatzir A. What do you mean? It doesn't open up into Chatzir A. It opens up into the Chatzir B. That's true. But there's a house that opens up into Chatzir A that also opens up into the house B. So through house A, you can look at house B as being part of Chatzir A. And the same is true in the reverse. Looking at it from Chatzir B's perspective, house A can be viewed as being part of Chatzir B. Even though it doesn't open up into it, but house B opens up into Chatzir B and house A opens up into Chatzir A. Now, if you were to view, this is important, this is the whole punchline. If you were to view house B as being part of Chatzir A, that would mean that house A is a Beis Shar for Chatzir A and house B. Obviously, because how do you get from Chatzir A to house B? You walk through house A. So if you want to look at house B as being part of Chatzir A, what do you do with house A? Oh, by definition, it becomes a Beis Shar. The same is true looking at it from Chatzir B's perspective. If you're going to view house A as being part of Chatzir B, that means house B, the one that opens up into Chatzir B, has to be viewed as a Beis Shar. There's no other way to make this work. So here's the Shaila. If I'm looking at it from Chatzir A's perspective, I can make it work. I can check off all the boxes. I could say, I want to make an Erev in Chatzir A. I got everybody to be Mishtatif. I'm going to put it into house B. I'm going to view house A as a Beis Shar. As a result, that's not where the Chatzir ends. No, it's just a Beis Shar into a different house. And that's part of the Chatzir. And if that's part of the Chatzir, I have a right to put my Erev there. That's fine. You could do that. And you could do it in the reverse as well. You know what the problem is? The problem is you can't have your cake and eat it too. The problem is you can't have it both ways. Because if I'm looking at house A, looking at it from Chatzir A's perspective, as being a Beis Shar, for me to be able to now view it just as a proizdor into house B, which is where I'm going to put my Erev, because I'm looking at it as being part of Chatzir A, that means we defined it as a Beis Shar. A Beis Shar is Nishkan Shtib, as it relates to Nana Makoim, it's not Adama, as it relates to Eruvei Chatzeres. We don't look at it as a house. We look at it as a Beis Shar. If it's a Beis Shar, how could the Chevron Chatzir B put their Erev there? They can't put an Erev in Beis Shar. And the same is true in the reverse. If you're going to allow the people from Chatzir B to put the Erev, then how could I look at it as a Beis Shar? Some Amar Shach. Meaning, if I want to make it work from Chatzir A's perspective, I have to look at the house closer to me as a Beis Shar, and the one farther from me as a bias. If you want to make a word from Chatzir B's perspective, you have to look at the one closest to them as a Beis Shar, the one farther from them as a Chatzir. So from one perspective, I'm looking at this is a Beis Shar, this is a bias. From the other Chatzir's perspective, I'm looking at it in the reverse. So could you do that? Is it possible? This was the question that Rechava asked the Rabbanah. If this was one-sided, yeah, I would have no problem. But the issue over here was a Maman of Shach. He wanted to know, like, could you do it? Amrule. So the Chachamim told Rechava, Shneim like Kanu Erev. I don't think anybody has an Erev. Why? Because Maman of Shach. Because he can't make this work. If you want to view the ones closest to the two respective chatzeres, which is both houses, as being a beishar, you can't put an eiv in a beishar. And if you say no, you look at it as a bias, because klapi the other chatzer, you could always look at it as a bias. Then come a taltal a bias loma arivle. If you're looking at it as a bias, then I can't do it. Because if the one closer to my chatzer is a bias, then how could I put it in the other house? Now that house is already, I skipped the house. So if that's the case, I can't do that either. So this was the question. The question is, could you do this or could you not do this? So the Gemara says, I understand. What's the problem? They said you can't because of this Maman of Shach. Why is this different than Rava? The Omar Rava. Rava said, so the Gemara is going to shteltzu a little bit of Tchumen. The Gemara does this a lot. We're discussing Chatzeres and we shteltzu Tchumen. So the Gemara says, what would be if you had two people went over to somebody and they said, do us a favor and make a ruvit chumen for us. We want to be able to go outside our tchum. So can you please make us in a ruvit chumen? So the shliach went, and for one of them, he made the erev miba'oydiyah, meaning he placed the erev before bein hashmashos, and the other one, he placed the erev bein hashmashos. Now, just quick review. When does a ruvit chumen go into effect? Goes into effect bein hashmashos. So one of them he placed miboydoyim before bein hashmashos. The other one he placed during bein hashmashos. Zesh yirvel miboydoyim. The one that he placed before bein hashmashos. This was the story. Nechel eruv bein hashmashos. Its erev was eaten during bein hashmashos. Zesh yirvel bein hashmashos. The one that he placed bein hashmashos. Nechel eruv mishatechshach was eaten mishatechshach. So what's the halacha? Shneim kanu erev. They're both going to be koine erev. Now the reason they're both koine erev is really a little bit of a chiddush. Because again, what happened? For one of them, he placed the meboid yoim, but it was eaten bein hashmashos. Meaning, bein hashmashos, during that kufa, it was taken away. We're saying kana erev. What does it mean kana erev? Because you're telling me that bein hashmashos is enough, and that's when it goes into effect. The problem is, if that's the case, why does it work in the second case, where the person placed it there, bein hashmashos, then it's not okay. Meaning you have to place the Erev that it should be the Bein HaShemashes so that when the sun sets and it becomes Shabbos, everything is going to go into effect. In one case, you put it there before Bein HaShemashes and it got taken away during Bein HaShemashes. Essentially, what you're saying then is that Bein HaShemashes is Laila. In the second case, you put it there Bein HaShemashes and it was taken away Mishatechshach and you're saying that's also okay, which you're essentially then saying is that Bein HaShemashos is Yom, because you can't put it there Bein HaShemashos. So you see that what? Again, you're having your cake and you're eating it too. You're looking at it for your convenience as being Yom, Bein HaShemashos, and you're looking at it as being Laila for your convenience. What must be the Pshat? The Pshat must be, because it's a Shaila v'drabbanon, Rashi says, and we're dealing with Erev, and we always go to Kula, and as a result, we're Mekel. Also, if we're Mekel over there, why can't you be Mekel over here? Sigmar says, Hachi Hashta, Hassam over there, Safig Yomama, Safig Laila. Loi Minker Emilso. Over there, it's a question of Safig Yom, Safig Laila. No one's really going to chop this. It's true, it's a suffix the Devrayim. Suffix the Rabbanim, you go Lakula. Befrat and Erevin, you always go Lakula. And it's for that reason we could be Mekel over here. But Hacha over here, there's a different reason. Either Lagabi high bias, Lagabi the high bias. Either Lagabi high Beishar, Lagabi the high Nami Beishar. Over here, it's a little bit of a Maman of Shach Brahm. And because the Maman of Shach Brahm is going to be an issue. Now, the truth is, there, it's also a Maman of Shach. Is it Yoim or is it Yoim? Is it Laila or is it Laila? So Rashi adds one punchline. Rashi says the last line of Rashi of the Perek is Veloinitein Pelet Stukim Lirdas. It says, being that this seems a little more blatant, Zmanim are a little more confusing. This is a little bit more blatant. The Stira. You're treating these houses as a Beishar, or you're treating these houses as a Bias. You have to pick one. You have to make a decision. So being that it's more blatant, it's for that reason, the Chachamim were worried a little bit about Lahoitzim Milibin Shal Tzedoykin, a very appropriate way to end Perek Gadar. And on that note, Hadron Allah Chadar, Zok Mishnah Vayter, the seventh Perek of Masechtas Erevin, which very much picks up where the sixth one ended off. Hachaloyin Shebein Beis Chatzeres. If there were two Chatzeres and there was a window that separated these two Chatzeres. So there was no Pesach that separated these two Chatzeres, but rather there was a window that separated the two Chatzeres. So here's the question. Do we look at them as one Chatzer so that if they want to be Ma'ar of the two Chatzeres together, they can? Or do we not look at them as one Chatzer so that if they want to be Ma'ar of the two Chatzeres, they won't be able to? Again, two independent Chatzeres. Not Zulef Nemizu. That was Dafayin He. This is really Dafayin Vah. These are two Chatzeres that are side by side. There's a way to get from one to the other. The way to get from one to the other is not through a door, but rather you can always go, you know, the other way. You could jump through the window. That's a mahalach. So the question is, do we look at the window as being enough of a Pesach so that if the two chatzeres want to be ma'ariv together, they can? Or do we not look at them as a Pesach, so that even if they want to be ma'ariv together, they cannot? They for sure don't have to be ma'ariv together. It's not what we're discussing. We're discussing if they want to be ma'ariv together. The halach is two chatzeres, sometimes yes, sometimes no. If there's a way to go from one to the other, yeah. If there's no way to go from one to the other, no. Here's the question. The chaloin that was between the two chatzeres, is that enough of an entranceway so that it could be ma'ariv or not? So says the Mishnah, it depends on the size of the window. Okay. Dalit al dalit b'teich hasara. If the window is 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim and it's within 10 tefachim from the ground, it's not like a window that's high up, but it's low, close to the floor. So then the halach is ma'ariv in shnayim. They could be ma'ariv shnayim. And ratzu ma'ariv in echad. They could do whatever they want. Pachas b'dalit al dalit. If the window was less than dalit al dalit, oylo ma'ariv in yod, or is more than 10 tefachim off the ground, ma'ariv in shnayim ve'ma'ariv in echad. Then the halach is that they could be ma'ariv as two. But the ei ma'ariv and echad, they cannot be ma'ariv as one. So what's the answer? Is a window considered a Pesach or not? It depends on the size of the window. It also depends on how high it is off the ground. If it's dalet al dalet, A, and B, it's within 10 tefachim from the ground, then the answer is yes. If it's less than dalet al dalet, it's more than 10 tefachim from the ground, then the answer is going to be no. So Gemara, what's this shear of 4 tefachim? Does it mean Rav Shimon Gamliel? And if that's the case, is this a stam Mishnah like Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Amar Kopachas Midal Kalavadami? Rav Shimon Gamliel, who is of the opinion that the shear of Lavud is not Gimel Tvachim, but rather the shear of Lavud is Dal. So throughout Shas, what's the shear of Lavud? The shear of Lavud is always Gimel Tvachim. Within Gimel Tvachim, Lavud is something that's applied to many sugis of Shas. But there's Das Yochid, the sheet of Reb Shimon Gamliel. He holds that the shear of Lavud is really 4 Tvachim, which means that if you have a gap that's within 4 Tvachim, we look at it in halacha as being close. So says the Gemara, makes a lot of sense that the Tan of our Mishnah should be Reb Shimon Gamliel. If there's a halacha that says that any chaloyim that's within 4 Tvachim is not called a Pesach, maybe it's Reb Shimon Gamliel, because you have a lovewood, and once there's lovewood, so we look at that whole area as if it's closed off. Or if we look at the area as if it's closed off. So, Gevaldik, it's move on. Why that loch is? It's not going to be considered a Pesach. Gemara says, no. Phil Temik Rabbanon. Could be the Mishnah is going to Rabbanon. Because that's going to be Rabbanon, let Rishon Gamliel, Elin Yilavudim. It's true, there's Machal Yisrael Rabbanon, Rishon Gamliel, but that's with regards to love. Aval Inyam Pischa. Here we're dealing with something else. Here we're trying to establish a Pesach. I feel the Rabbanon Maidi, even the Rabbanon agreed. Ikadal Adal Chashav, Eloi Loi Chashav. Yeah, lovewood is Gimel Tvachim, but Pesach is Dalat Tvachim. There's a shir. What a Pesach has to be a Pesach. This is true throughout Shas. A Pesach always has to be dalet tefachim. Pachas mi dalet. The Mishnah said, "Oy lemaila miyud ma'ariv in shnayim ve'ei ma'ariv in echad." Zok the Gemara pshito. Isn't the Mishnah very redundant? Right. The Mishnah is very careful in terms of mincing words. So the Mishnah literally repeats itself. Chaloyin shemein beis chatzer is dalet al dalet b'toy chasara is good. Pachas mi dalet al dalet. Oy lemaila mi asara is no good. Right, isn't it literally redundant? If I know the shear is dalet al dalet and it has to be pachas miyud, okay, so obviously if it's less than dalet al dalet or if it's a ma'il miyud, it's not going to be okay. So the Gemara, haka mashmalah. No, there's a chiddush in the sefer. The chiddush is time of the kulu l'mayil miyud. The only time it's a problem is if the entire window is l'mayil miyud. Avon miksasa b'toich yud. But if even part of the window is within yud, ma'ariv in shnayim, then the halacha is you could be ma'ariv shnayim. As long as it's dalet al dalet. Meaning, the point is that when we say l'mayla miyod or l'mata miyod, what does that mean? That means the whole window has to be l'mata miyod, or even if part of the window is l'mata miyod, that in and of itself is going to be okay. That's what the safe of the Mishnah is coming to tell me, that if it's l'mayla miyod, then the halacha is ein ma'arvin. When is it ein ma'arvin if it's l'mayla miyod? If Kule is l'mayla miyud. It's entirely l'mayla miyud. But if even a little tiny sliver is l'mata miyud, that's going to be okay. So again, we had a kash on the Mishnah, and to say pshat on the Mishnah, we said a halacha that's not mefurish on the Mishnah. So the Gemara is going to show a braisa where it is mefurish. So it's not mefurish on the Mishnah. It's meduyak in the Mishnah, because otherwise, how do you understand the Reish and the Sefer? But it's not mefurish in the Mishnah, but in the Braisa it is mefurish. What's this Braisa? Kulei l'mayla miyud, u'miktsasa b'teich hasara. If the entire window was l'mayla miyud, and part of it was b'teich hasara, or kulei b'teich yud, u'miktsasa l'mayla miyud, or if it was almost entirely
b'toichil, but there was a little part of it that was l'mayla miyud ma'arvin shnayim. It's considered a good window. V'mrotzu, and if they want, they don't have to be ma'arvin shnayim, ma'arvin echad. So, the Gemara, how do you understand the braisa? Hashle kulu l'mayla miyud m'ksas b'toichil d'amrim ma'arvin shnayim. You tell me if even a little bit is within yud, it's enough. V'mrotzu ma'arvin echad kulu b'toichil yud m'ksas l'mayla miyud m'boy. Then certainly, if most of it is within yud and only a small part of it is l'mayla miyud, it should be okay. Meaning, now the Gemara is asking a kasha in the braisa. So the halacha of the Mishnah was just said mefurish in the braisa. It says m'ksas say that's enough. But the question is, why did the braisa have to repeat itself? Meaning, if a little bit within yud is okay, then certainly if almost all of it is within yud and a tiny bit of is l'mayla miyud, it should be okay. Tomorrow says, you're right, zu vein tzarech lo mezuk tani. Just like the braisa sometimes will say, lo yzu afsu, sometimes the Mishnah, the braisa, will go in the reverse. It will say, zu vein tzarech lo mezuk. Meaning, that's true. Once we know that if a tiny bit of it is within 10 tvachim, it's okay. Certainly, if most of it is with 10 tvachim, it's going to be okay. But what's the bottom line? Before we exhale for a second, the bottom line is that when the Mishnah says that the shear of a chaloyin between two chatzeres, in order for it to be able to be ma'ari of the two chatzeres, if you want, you don't have to, but if you want to, so what is it? It has to be dalet al dalet, and it has to be within 10 tvachim. Does it mean the entire chaloyin has to be within 10 tvachim? Or is it enough if a little bit of it is within 10 tvachim? The teretz is, it's enough if it's a little bit. It's mefurish in a braisa, and it's meduyik that way in the Mishnah. Regardless, that concludes the first part of the new perek. So before we go weiter, the next part of the daf is going to get involved in math. So there's math that appears in different sugyas here in Masechtas Erev, and Daf Yudalit, Daf Nun Vav certainly comes to mind. But there are some dafin here in Masechtas Erev that have a little bit of math. This next Gemara is going to be one of them. So before we start the next Gemara, I think we just have to chazer over three math yisoides, just three math rules as it relates to learning the sugyas in Erev. Number one, the rule of pi, which states that the relationship or the ratio between the circumference of a circle and the diameter of a circle is 3 to 1. So the circumference of a circle is the area, meaning how big is the circle? So if you measure the area of the entire circle, that's your circumference. What's the diameter? Just the definition. If you draw a line from one part of the circle to another part of the circle, that one line is the diameter. The relationship, the ratio between the circumference of a circle and the diameter of a circle is always going to be 3 to 1. It's actually a little bit more than 3 to 1, but Chazal rounded it off. That's why we have Psukim, the Reit Bite on the Af Yudala, the Tosfos Harosh. That is an idea that we round off numbers in Halacha. But the relationship is going to be a relationship of 3 to 1. In the event that you have a circle and you now draw a square around that circle. So you have a perfect circle, and then you put 4 sides around the circle so that your circle is now within the square. Naturally, the area of the square is going to be larger than the circle. Why is that? Because the square is a box that you just drew around the circle. This is obvious. What's the relationship? What's the ratio between the size of the square and the size of the circle? So you have a circle, you drew a square around it. There's a formula that Chazal used for us to be able to figure out what the area of the square is going to be relative to the circle. And the ratio is 4/3, meaning the square is going to be 33% more than the circle, or in the Lashon of Chazal, it's going to be a quarter more. Chazal always looked at Shiurim milavar, not milagav. Meaning, once you add the Odef, that difference, that spread, how much of it is it relative to the entire number? But the point is that the ratio from between the area of the square to the area of the circle is going to be 4 to 3. So if you know the area of one, you know the area of the other. You know the area of the other, you know the area of one. And then finally, the third yusoid, as it relates to math, that we've already seen, that we just have to review, is that if you have a square and you draw a diagonal from one corner of the square to the other corner of the square, the size of that diagonal is going to be 1.4 times any one of its sides. So if the sides of the square are one, so this is a perfect square, that's one tefach by one tefach, and now you draw a diagonal from one corner to the other corner, the length of the diagonal is going to be a little bit longer than the length of any one of the sides. Sides are all the same because it's a square. But the length of the diagonal is going to be a little bit longer. How much longer? 1.4 times. So if it's a square that's 1 by 1, the diagonal is going to be 1.4. If it's 2 by 2, so multiply 2 by 1.4. Again, so we have the law of pi, which states that the relationship, the ratio between the circumference of a circle, the diameter of a circle, is 3 to 1. So if I know what the diameter is, just multiply it by 3 and you get the circumference. If I know what the circumference is, divide it by 3 and you're going to get the diameter. Number two, if you have a square and you have a circle and you put a square around the circle, so the area of the square is naturally going to be bigger than the area of the circle. What's that ratio? What's the formula? The formula is 4/3. It's going to be 4/3 bigger, or 33% more. And if I have a square and I draw a diagonal from one corner of the square to the other corner of the square, the diagonal is going to be a little longer than the sides of the square. How much longer? The formula is, it's 1 to 1.4. So whatever the sides of the square are, 1.4 times that, that's what the sides of the circle, that's what the side of the diagonal is going to be. So why are we having this conversation right now? Where is the math going to come? Oh, it's very simple. Because the Mishnah just discussed halacha, we have two chatzeros that are side by side. And there's a window that separates these two chatzeros. No door, but there's a window. The question is, can we look at the window as being enough to say that these two chatzeros are as if there was a Pesach in between them? And as such, if they want to be ma'arev and make one big eruv chatzeros, they can. Of course, they won't have to. But if they want to, they should be able to, or no? Maybe the window's not. Is a window like a Pesach or is it not like a Pesach? So the Mishnah said, it depends on the size of the window. If the window is 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim, it has to be within 10 tvachim. Only a tiny bit of it has to be within 10 tvachim. But if it's 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim, then the answer is going to be yes. Now, 4 by 4 is very nice, a perfect square. But, you know, unfortunately, life is not always so perfect. Not everything is a perfect square. And sometimes you have to retrofit things. So the question is, what would be if it wasn't a perfect square? Let's say it was a circle. So now what? How do you measure the circle? Meaning, how do you know if this circle meets the dimensions of the 4 by 4 so that we can look at this as a Pesach, so that if the two chatzeres want to be ma'ariv together, that loch is they will be able to. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan addressed this shayla. He said, Chaloin ogol, if you have a window that's a circle, tzarech sheyehe be'akefa, you need that its circumference should be esrim v'arba tfachim, 24 tfachim. You need that it should be 24 tvachim. If it's going to be 24 tvachim, that means that it's going to be 4 by 4. He added, did Rabbi Yochanan, he said, Ushnayim u'mashu mehen b'toich yod. You need at least 2 tvachim and a mashu of these 24 tvachim to be within your tvachim. The reason is, she'im yiravenu, because in the event you have it exactly in that format, if you're going to put a square inside the circle, meaning he's referring to the bottom part. If you have shnayim u'mashu on the bottom, then if you square it off, nimtza mashu b'toichil, then at least a mashu of the shnayim u'mashu will be within yud, and as long as a mashu of the shnayim u'mashu is going to be within yud, that's going to be okay. Meaning, the premise of the circle being 24 tfachim in circumference and working is related to the fact that the 24 tvachim somehow matches up, it equals up to the square. So Zakhti Gemara, Mech, I don't understand. We know the rule. Kol sheish bekev v'shalosh tvachim, eish b'bireich v'tefach. The relationship between the circumference of a circle and the diameter of a circle is always 3 to 1. So if that's the case, betreisa sagis, why is the number 24? The number should really be 12. What's the svara? Why should it be 12? The Gemara is going to walk through the cheshbon. But why should it be 12? Because l'chura, if you're trying to fit a square that's 4 by 4 into this area, so the side of the square is going to be 4 tvachim. If the side of the square is going to be 4 tvachim, so the assumption then is that looking at it from a circle's perspective, the diameter is now 4 tvachim. If the diameter is 4 tvachim, what does the circumference have to be? L'chayr, it has to be 12 tvachim. Meaning, how big does a circle have to be in order to get a diameter that's 4 tvachim? 12. Because the diameter is always going to be one third of the circumference. So if my end game is to try to get a line that's four tefachim wide to fit into this chaloin, so that I have a chaloin that's dalet al dalet, so I need the circumference to be 12 tefachim. So if that's the case, why do I need it to be 24? I should only need it to be 12. If I needed an 8 tefach by 8 tefach, then 24 would be the right number, because 24 divided by 3 is 8. But l'chayra, I only need 4. If I only need 4, so work backwards. If I need 4, so what does the circumference have to be? 4 times 3. 4 times 3 is 12. So the Gemara says, no, honey, it'll be gula. This would all be true if the shear of the chaloin was a circle. When Chazal gave us the shear, if the shear was a circle and they said, as long as the diameter is 4, yeah, then what is the hekefa you have to be? The circumference would have to be 12. Then I know it's 4 times 3. That's going to get me my number. But over here, when the Chazal gave the shear of Dalit, it wasn't the shear of the diameter of a circle, it was a square, it was a ribua. And the ribua has to be Dalit al Dalit. If the ribua has to be Dalit al Dalit, so it's a different shear. It can't just be 12, meaning be'inon tfei, it has to be bigger, because the square is always going to be bigger than the circle. In what sense? The diameter of a circle is going to yield a circumference that's going to be 12. But if you have a square that has a side that's dalet, not a circle whose diameter is dalet, but a square whose side is dalet, that means all four of the sides are going to be dalet, which means what is going to be the area of the square? It's not going to be 12. What is it going to be? It's going to be 16. 4 plus 4 plus 4 plus 4, right? That's easy math. It's 16. What's the relationship between that and the circle? 4 thirds. The circumference of the circle is 12, and the area of the square is 16, which is what we mentioned. That was the second of the Yesoidus, because you have this 4-3 ratio. So it says the Gemara, but the point is it has to be a little bit bigger. So if it has to be a little bit bigger, so we understand, it can't be 12. The Gemara asked the Kasha, it should be 12. No, that would be true if you're trying to fit a circle inside, and you need the diameter to be 4. Now you're trying to fit a square, you need 4 sides of 4. Oh, 4 sides of 4, it's going to have to be a little bit bigger. Okay, so the Gemara says, fine. How much more is a square versus a circle? When you do the conversion, it's a quarter. Again, like we said earlier, it's a quarter milivar, which what we would call a third, meaning it's a four-third relationship, meaning that one-fourth that the square is more than the three, that's the revua. But if that's the case, Bishit Sasagis should only have to be 16. Still, what's the cheshbin? Why does it have to be 24? That would be true if what we were doing here is we were drawing the circle inside the square. If you have a circle and you put a square around it, that's why I kept on mentioning that in the introduction. You have a circle and you put the square around the circle. So the square is going to be a little bit bigger. How much bigger? It's going to end up being 4/3 the amount. So that's where this math comes into play. But what do we need to do over here? We need to do something a little bit differently. We need is the shear Chazal gave us was the chaloin has to be dalet al dalet. They gave us a shear that's a square. Now we don't have a square. What we have is a circle. So we're trying to do some conversion over here, from square to circle. Can't draw a circle inside the square and run with it? No, of course not. It's just the opposite. If anything, you would need to make sure that you would be able to fit the square into the circle. So that we need to now think not in terms of a circle that's in a square, but rather a square that's in the circle. You need to have that square, or at the very least, figure out a formula to convert the area that's now a circle into the identical area that would be the square. But the simplest way to do this is that if you can fit a dalet by dalet square inside the circumference of the circle, so that's going to be okay. So the Gemara says this relationship of 4/3, that's all true if you're drawing a circle inside a square. You're putting a square around the circle. But if it's in the reverse, if you have a square that's inside a circle, it has to be bigger. My time, why does it have to be bigger? What do you mean? Because you need a much bigger circle. The circle has to go around the corners of the square. When the circle's inside the square, it doesn't have to account for the corners of the square. It's submerged inside the square. But when it goes around the square, so now it has to make these big turns around the corners of the square. So it has to account for that. So the Gemara says, okay, but I think we can figure that out as well. Mechti. Kol amsa biribua, amsa v'trei chumshi balachsoina. We have another rule. The rule is that every amma of a square, if you want to now figure out what the diagonal of that square is, it's going to be an amma and 4/5. It's going to be 1 point and 2/5. It's going to be 1.4 ammas. Because again, the ratio between the diagonal of a square and the sides of a square is 1 to 1.4. So it says the Gemara, if you have a square and you draw a circle around the square, the diameter of the square of the circle is going to be equal to the diagonal of the square. Right? If you just draw it on a piece of paper, you'll see. You have a square. You drew a tight circle around the square. Now you're going to draw a diameter, which is just a line. That's going to be equal, not to the sides of the square. The sides of the square are going to be smaller than that, because the sides of the square are going to have a little bit of odef around the four sides. But what you're going to have, however, is the diagonal, that's going to be equal to the diameter. So the diameter is going to be the diagonal. So we could do a little bit of math here, and we can figure out how big the circle has to be. Why? Because we know the square has to be 4x4. If the square has to be 4x4, what does the diagonal have to be? So it's 4 times 1.4, which is 5.6. If the square is 4, and the diagonal is 1.4 times that, so it's 4 times 1.4, which is 5.6. If the diagonal is 5.6, that means the diameter of a circle that you're going to draw around the square is also going to be 5.6. If the diameter is going to be 5.6, that means the circumference is going to be 5.6 times 3, which is 16.8. It's frek de gemara b'shiv ser nechi chum shesagi. It should be good if you have 17 minus a fifth, also known as 16.8. That should be enough, right? L'churis, the gemara says, I understand. Why does it have to be 24? We're trying to fit a square into a round hole, right? That's essentially what we're trying to do. So you're trying to take a square that's dalet by dalet, and you're trying to make it work with this round. And Rabbi Yochanan said, you know what the circumference has to be? It has to be 24 tefachim around. It says 24 tefachim around. Where are you coming up with 24 tefachim? So first the Gemara said, thought it should just have to be 12, because the Gemara is thinking in terms of the diameter of the circle. The Gemara says, no, we're not trying to handle a square. The area of a square is much bigger. Okay, how much bigger is the area of a square of a circle? I mean, if you would draw a square around a circle, it would be 4.4 thirds the size. Okay, 16 should be enough. Moses says, no, you need to put the square in the circle. Okay, you have to put the square in the circle. 16.8 maximum. At the end of the day, when you come to 24, that's a huge jump. So where'd we go from 16.8 to 24? So the Gemara says something very interesting. It says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Amar ki daini de Kisri. Rabbi Yochanan was makabel what he heard from the Dayanim of Kisri. The Amri Lassam say ki Rabbanan de Kisri. He said what he was makabel from the Rabbanan of Kisri. The Amri who said igula migav rivua, that if you put a square into a circle, the halacha is riva. Regula migav rivua. If you put a circle into a square river, the difference is going to be a river. Like we said, it's going to be 1/4 more. The square will be over the circle, which what we would call 1/3 more, a ratio of 4 to 3. Rivo migayigulo. However, if you put a square into a circle, you know what the relationship is going to be? Palga. Again, not what we would call palga, but it's going to end up being 50% more. So whatever the area of the square is, if you draw a circle around it, it's 50% more. So if you have a square that's dalet al dalet, what's the area? 4 plus 4 plus 4 plus 4, you add up the sides, you have 16. If you now put a circle around it, Rabbi Yochanan was mekabel from the Dayanim of Kisri, or from the Rabbanan in Kisri, has to be more than that. How much more than that does it have to be? 50% more. What does 50% more mean? So it's 16 times at 1.5, which gives you how much? It gives you 24. And that's how he came up with the number of 24. Now, Tosfos says that if you do the math with a pen and paper, it's not going to come out the cheshbon. And if you just look at towards the end of Tosfos, Tosfos says, Rabbi Yochanan dehacha tov bedivrei. There must have been some mistake over here. It's a long Tosfos. And Tosfos said that there must have been some mistake. This is outside the scope of today's daf. But if you look in the Hagoyis Agro, says the Goyim, just Ois Aleph, v'chas v'sholem shatov. Chas v'sholem to think that Rabbi Yochanan makes it. Meaning the math doesn't add up. That's what Tosfos is struggling with. So Tosfos says a whole cheshbon, and Tosfos says that there must have been some miscommunication of some mistake, obviously, because otherwise it doesn't work. And the Vilna Gaon, Kedarkei B'Kodesh, says Chas v'sholem shatov, and the Gaon works out a whole cheshbon to make it all work. Ayin shom above my pay grade. Zok de Gemara, pachis mi dalet al dalet. So again, the Mishnah said that if you have a chaloyin shebein beis chatzeres, if the chaloyin is dalet al dalet, and it's within 10 tefachim from the ground, the arvim shnayim. If you want, you can be ma'ariv one. If it's less than dalet al dalet,
then it's not considered a Pesach. As a result, you have no choice. You can't be ma'ar of them together. You can only view this as one. The only time this is true is if you have two chatzeres and you want to be ma'ar of the two chatzeres, you want to be ma'ar of the derech de chaloin. So that's when you have this halach of dalad adalad within yud. However, if, however, you want to be ma'ar of two houses, not two chatzeres, but two houses, and there was a window that separated these two houses, even if the window was more than 10 tefachim off the ground, the halach is you would be able to be ma'arif. This shear of within 10 tefachim was only set for two chatzeres. But two houses, there's no such shear. It could even be l'mayla me'asara. Why? My time. So the Gemara says, basic command the moli dami. Because this is a yesod that we saw in Masechta Shabbos, that a house that has four walls and a roof on top of it, so sometimes in halacha, we look at the inside of the house as being filled. So what's your problem? Your problem is the window is more than 10 tefachim off the floor. That's not a Pesach. You jump, it's too high, right? It's not considered a Pesach. But if I could look at the floor as if it's raised a little bit, why? Because basic command the Moli Dami, so it's, the floor is raised, and that's not a problem anymore. It's within 10 tefachim. So by a Chatzah, you don't have this. It's outdoors. You don't have the Sfarah, basic command the Moli Dami. But by a Bayis, it's a Sfarah, basic command the Moli Dami. It's Rav, the Rav Nachman. So who said this Rav Nachman? So Rav asked Rav Nachman, Akasha, Echadli Chaloyin Shemein Beis Chatzeris, a Braisa. It doesn't matter if the chaloyim was between two chatzeres. Vechli chaloyim shemein beis batan, if the chaloyim was between two houses. Vechli chaloyim shemein beis aliyas, it was between two attics. Vechli chaloyim shemein beis gagan, was between two roofs. Vechli chaloyim shemein beis chador, it was between two rooms. Kulan dalar adal b'tei chasara. It always has to be dalar adal b'tei chasara. This is checkmate. Mefurish abraisa. It doesn't matter if it's between two chatzeres, like the Mishnah, or even if it's between two houses. So you see that the halach of tei chasara is always true. There's no svar of basic command the moli dami. So the Gemara says Tirguma Rav Nachman could always say that when the Braisa said dalad al dalad b'tei chasara, it wasn't referring to everything it just said. It was only referring to chatzeres. Right, the Gemara va echad li ketani. How do you read the Braisa? It doesn't matter if it's this. It doesn't matter if it's that. Echad means it doesn't matter, right? Say if it's this. Say if it's that. Say if it's that. Say if it's this. It says in Mefurish. So the Gemara says no. Tirguma dalad al dalad. The Braisa said two things. Dalad al dalad and tei chasara. Dalad al dalad is true for everything. Echad, 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 echad. That's true for the dalad al dalad part of the brisa. The betei chasara part of the brisa, that's only true for chatzeres. As it relates to anything indoors, you have a svara of basic command the moli domi. Boy, minei, Reb Abner, Reb Nachman, ask Reb Nachman a different question. Lula pasuach min abayis l'aliyah. What would be if you have a bayis and an aliyah? So you have a two-story house, and there was a hatch, a window, some way to be able to get from the first floor to the second floor, walking through the ceiling or the floor, right? You can just go through the ceiling somehow, and there's a way to get in. So here's the question. The question is that window, quote unquote, enough of a Pesach for us to be able to be Ma'ariv or not to be Ma'ariv? Now, on the one hand, you'll say it's a Pesach. The problem, of course, is that it's not within 10 tefachim. So if it's not within 10 tefachim, maybe that would be an issue. But then again, Rav Nachman just said a halacha that basis command the moli dami. So maybe in a bias, it's not a problem if it's 10 tefachim. But then again, Rav Nachman said it in a more conventional situation where you have two rooms or two houses, they're separated by a wall, so it's in the wall that separates these two houses where you have this question of Besa Kamanda Moli Dami. But maybe if it's on the roof, it's a little bit different. That was Rabbi Abba's question. He said, Lula Pazuch Mimbayas Laliya, Tsarach Sulum Kabulatira, ain't Tsarach Sulum Kabulatira. Meaning, do you need a ladder or do you not need a ladder? The assumption is if you have a Sulum Kavua, that will address the issue. But if you don't have a Sulum Kavua, what's the halacha? Kiyam in Besa Kamanda Moli Dami. When do we say Besa Kamanda Moli Dami? Maybe that's only if the window was on the side. Avo Be'emsef, it was in the middle. No, maybe there's no difference. Maybe you do say basic command the Moli Dami. Amalei told him, you don't need a Sulam Kavua. Why? Because basis command the Moli Dami, the fact that it's more than 10 Tfachim doesn't bother me, it's going to be okay. So the Gemara says, Sover Mina, Rabbi Abba thought, Sulam Kavua hu de Enei Tzarech, ha Sulam Aroi Tzarech. You don't need a staircase. You don't need a permanent Sulam. But maybe at the very least something temporary you do need. So the Gemara says, Itmar Amar Rav Yosef Ar Menyumi Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman was Mefarashit. He said, Echad Sulam Kavua, Echad Sulam Aroi Enei Tzarech. You don't need a Sulam Kavua. You don't need a Sulam Aroi. And the reason is, because at the end of the day, there's a Svara of Besa, command the Moli Dami, and now we can exhale.